This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hey everyone and welcome. This is Felice Gerwitz with an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. This is episode 220. And today on the line with me is one of my favorite ever guests and friend, Meredith Curtis. Welcome, Meredith.
Hi, Felice. I'm so excited to be here, and we're getting ready to start a new year. And wow, there is a lot going on, and I'm really looking forward to talking about refreshment, because I don't know about you, but I think I could use some refreshment right now.
Me too. I really can. And so whether you're listening to this at the beginning of the new year or in the middle of the year, everyone can use refreshment for moms. And so speaking of refreshments, grab a glass of lemonade, iced tea, whatever it is, and just sit back because we have a great show planned for you. You can visit Meredith at MeredithCurtis.com, and that will take you to her other websites as well as the Finish Well podcast. Meredith has a wonderful podcast on the network at ultimateradioshow.com/finish-well. And I will have links on the show notes at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, episode 220. So today, as we are getting ready to talk about refreshment for moms, as we were sharing behind the scenes before we began, and Meredith and I have decided we need to schedule another time when we can just talk, because sometimes we use up our recording time just catching up with the family and friends and what's going on in life. And so, you know, we were talking about just things happening in our own lives. And, you know, and as we were talking and sharing, I just felt like, you know, the Lord just wants you to know that He's here for you, and that He is willing, you know, to fill you up as much as you need. And so that's what this episode is all about. As we share today, Meredith, we each have 3 points, which is very typical for us. And then we're going to break a little bit for a commercial in just a little bit. And our sponsors today are Powerline Productions, and that's curriculum that Meredith has written, and she's got some amazing stuff. And also My Media Angels curriculum. And today I'm going to be talking about in our commercial time the Media Angels membership site, where we've got so many bundled products over there. So I'm excited about that. Well, Meredith, as we talk about refreshments for moms, I know we both know, you know, friends and even ourselves that need some filling up with the Lord. So what is the first thing on your list?
The first thing on my list, Felice, is to fix our eyes on Jesus. I know it's very easy when you get into any kind of task, and let's face it, homeschooling is a task. It's very easy to just focus on, you know, our checklist and our, you know, the books we have to order and what our children have to finish. And, you know, we just so easily get on this treadmill. We're like a little hamster just running. And so I'd say the first thing is to just relax and fix your eyes on Jesus. And one of the things that we have been doing lately is reading a book by Watchman Nee. It's a very old book, called The Normal Christian Life, and it's about who we are in Christ and how He has forgiven us of our sins, how He has filled us up with His Holy Spirit, how He's given us a new nature, how He's with us, how He loves us. And it has just so refreshed my spirit to remember all the time that Jesus loves me. Jesus is with me. Jesus has overcome, and His power is at work in me, that same power that raised Christ from the dead. And so if I don't think about that, I listen to the lies of the world. I've got to do it in my own strength. You know, the lies of the devil, God's forgotten you. He doesn't love you. That's a lie. God is with us every minute. He's overcome the world. And he is good. He has good plans. Nothing takes him by surprise. You know, I find in my life things are always happening and I'm going, oh, what's this? You know, but God is never taken by surprise and he has a plan and he turns everything to good. So when we fix on the person of Jesus, not, you know, like theology about him, but the person of Jesus, who was born of a virgin, who grew up and lived a perfect life, who had an amazing ministry where he healed and he did miracles and he taught the truth and he preached, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he died for our sins and he rose from the dead glorious and he ascended into heaven and he's going to come back for us. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, it honestly changes how we perceive our circumstances. It fills us with love for our husbands. It fills us with love for our children. It gives us a vision for our homeschooling. So, you know, when you start feeling like, oh, I'm so worn out, fix your eyes on Jesus because there is nothing that you've gone through that he cannot relate to. He's our high priest and he sympathizes with our weakness and he has been tempted in every way as we are, but without sin. So that is my number one. And right away, when you do that, you will feel refreshed.
Oh, I love that. And I'm reading a very old book. In fact, it was part of an inheritance that I received from a friend of my mom and dad's who was he was an elderly priest who loved to collect books. And it's a hard copy, you know, like one of the first editions of Bishop Fulton Sheen. And years ago, he used to have a TV show, and people, you know, knew him for his flamboyant style. And it's called Seven Words from the Cross, and it talks about, you know, without the cross, we can have no salvation, and how everybody wants to push aside the cross. And, you know, push aside God, and it got into, you know, so it's a little bit heavy. It's a very thin book, Meredith, but it's heavy. And one of the things it said on there that really astounded me, and I really wanted to make one of those memes for Facebook, and it talked about, you know, like when you were talking about we think we can do it on our own and we don't really need help, and you know, it's a sin of pride. And it said, pride is when you're so busy looking down at others that you can't look up at me. You know, like we can't look up at Jesus because we're so busy looking down. And,
right.
You know, it was like such a, I had to read that to my children, you know, it had a big long paragraph and it like I said, it was a little bit deep before that, but it was so good because, you know, we really need to do that. And it's not on either one of our lists, but I think, you know, reading really good, you know, spiritual materials that are going to feed our souls. We did that this summer. My daughter's home from college and my son is dual enrolled. So he's taking some college classes. So of course the mommy in me is like, you know, I know that they do their devotionals and they go to church and everything, you know, do, but I want them to kind of be filled. So at the beginning of the summer, I said, okay, I have, you know, a library upstairs, go grab some books and we're each going to read a book and then switch books. And, you know, Anne was reading The Cross and the Switchblade. Is that the right title? I think it is.
Oh, that's an awesome book. Yeah.
That is an awesome book. And then we also had all, if you've never read the book From Prison to Praise, that's
another
amazing.
Oh, I love that book. I love that book.
No, my question is, how many have you bought and given away?
Oh, my
like
goodness.
One of those you
and
want.
Not only that, I make all my children read it in high school. When I disciple people, I encourage them to read it. And I cannot keep a copy of the book. I'll buy 5 copies at a time, and I'm constantly lending them, and then I'm out of them. Yeah,
right.
I love that.
Well,
I love
buy
it
by the case because he talks about how, and he recently died, and it was really, really cute because I was on his newsletter list, and in the mail, I believe, I got it in the mail, and it was this, or it might have been email, but it said, if you're reading this, I am now deceased. Like he had a letter ready to go when he died. I'll have to see if I can find that, and I'll put a link on this podcast, because he was saying, you know, you're getting this because I'm now gone, and I wrote this way ahead of time for the time I would be gone, so I could tell you, you know, and it was just beautiful. But it basically is part of my number one, and my number one is be quiet before the Lord. That was something I had to learn when I asked the Lord. I remember people talking about, you know, prophetic words, and it was my birthday many years ago, and I talk about this on my other podcast. I have a podcast, A Few Minutes with God, podcast.com, on the Ultimate Christian Podcast Network, and that is our sister network. But I talk more about it there. But, you know, I really wanted a prophecy, and it was my birthday, and here I am praying, Mira's going, okay, Lord, you know it's my birthday. Like, he knew me before I was born. He knows the number of hairs on my head. And I'm sitting here telling, you know, Almighty God, the creator of the universe, it's my birthday, and that's what I want for my birthday is a prophecy. And that was the first ever thing I got from the Lord was, you know, be still and know that I am God. Mm. And so that's where I got the, you know, be quiet before the Lord, or, you know, a few minutes with God. And that was just that every single day, you know, as one of my mother and father-in-law's older friend will always say, he calls it zip the lip. Not a nice way to say be quiet, but he, you know, he wants us to be quiet before him, because if we can be quiet before him, then he can fill us up and lead us. A lot of times, and I see this in my own life, that when I have, you know, I am a mommy, so, you know, micromanage, and I want to know what's going on, and I want my children to be loving and kind to each other, and I you know, this, and this, even though our children, both of us, my youngest is now 17, but we have older children, Meredith, and we have grandchildren, but even so, we still are concerned about what's going on in their lives. And when that happens, I have to be quiet before the Lord so the Lord can direct me. And when I'm, you know, feeling more frantic, it's because I'm trying to get ahead of him and I'm not listening. The years that I picked the wrong homeschool curriculum, invariably, Meredith, it was because I didn't really pray and say, okay, Lord, you know, what is it that you want us to do this year? And I finally learned that my husband and I got to have a date night, and we would sit down and we would talk about what we wanted our children to learn that year, and also what spiritual qualities or what character qualities we wanted to nurture that year. And we never told them. We never said, we want you to be more kind or more patient or have more perseverance. We would just pray that for our kids that year. And I felt that the years that we did that, there was such an anointing on our homeschooling. Did it always go perfectly? No. Did they still lose a math book? Every child had lost a math book at some point, or whatever that book
goodness.
Is.
The really expensive one.
Well, it's not like they really lost it. They just didn't know where it was conveniently, I believe, you know.
Yeah,
you know, it was a pile of something or other. But, you know, it always turn up. But it was, you know, you get frustrated because, you know, you're spending all that time. But, you know, my daughter, Christina, is just an amazing child. She was as a homeschool kid, too. Now she homeschools. My little granddaughter came over and said, Grandma, I had no fun on Saturday. And I said, really, Em? What's wrong? And she's the oldest of the seven. And she goes, Mom made me do math on Saturday. So I look at my daughter, and my daughter, you know, just raises her eyebrows. And she goes, Emma, why don't you tell Grandma why you had to do math on Saturday? And she goes, because I didn't get my math done, and I got a bunch wrong. You know, so it's like, so I said, well, what are we going to do about that? I said, you know, do you want Grandma to help you, or, you know, and she just wants to get done. So she was just putting down any old answer, you know, just to be done. She really didn't think her mother would care if it was right or not. So, you know, I told Christina, I said, it's because you're a homeschool child. You know all the ins and outs and what you tried to get away with. So, you know, your daughter, poor daughter, can't get away with anything. But it's true, Meredith. Don't you think that it's the times when we can be still before the Lord that He can fill us up and He can lead us and kind of, you know, give us that extra little blessing?
You know, it's so, we talk about our salvation and we're saved by grace, but so often we want to live on our own strength. And my husband always says, grace is all He has for all you need that you don't have. And, you know, so often we look at impossible situations and we try to, you know, somehow muster up enough of us. But when we pray, like, God loves to intervene. And I think sometimes we just need to remind each other, God is for you. God loves you. God loves to answer your prayers. And there's so much delight in His heart, you know, to do that. So, yes, I totally, totally agree. And I think that's wonderful, too, because, you know, one of the things you mentioned was when you can focus on something and then you see God answer your prayer, like, you really know that He's involved in your children's lives. And then you realize, oh, wow, He probably just put that on my heart because that's what He wants to do in their life. And He brought me to a place where I would, you know, think about that and want that too. So anyway, I just think it's kind of cool how God moves in that way.
That's beautiful. And then also our number two points, why don't you go ahead and share yours right before we take a quick commercial break on realistic expectations.
Oh, good. Yes. Okay. So the next thing is that, you know, I'm an idealist. And one of the hardest things for me is I'll just think, okay, I want to do this and I want to do this and I want to do this. And when, you know, we want to learn this and we're learning this and, oh, this has come up, let's do this. And I want my children to be absolutely perfect and I want us to be healthy. And, you know, I want there to be enough money to do the things we want to do and I don't want to have trials. And, you know, I want this idealistic life and I will have that one day when I go to heaven, but on earth, I won't have that. And one promise I never hear anyone quote is, here in this life, you will have trouble. And of course, he goes on and he says, but take heart, I've overcome the world. But we, you know, we will have trouble. We will, like, you know, when our children are disobedient, are we shocked? Because we shouldn't be. The Bible tells us that folly is bound up in the heart of a child. When our children don't get something, we shouldn't be surprised because we have things in our own life that took us a long time to learn. And so I think just setting realistic expectations of ourselves, of other people, of our children, like sometimes our children are tired and they need to take a rest. There's just so many situations. And so here we are. And, you know, God is for us and God is, you know, he does not feel frustrated with us. And he has enough love to put in our hearts so that we don't have to spend our lives being frustrated because people aren't meeting our expectations. If we make our expectations realistic and we realize that, okay, like something, you know, like yesterday, we're getting ready to go on vacation and, it happened Saturday and I was like, everybody's leaving the house. They're going to this conference. I'm going to stay home. I'm going to get stuff done. And what happens? The AC breaks and starts leaking. So Mike is running the wet dry vac. So much for my quiet house. Then the next day, yesterday I was trying to get some stuff done and again, the AC is leaking. So the wet dry vac is running and then the AC guy comes and, you know, I thought, I have a choice right now. I can think, I'm so frustrated, my day is not going as planned. Or I can think, God has this under control. How does he want me responding right now? And I realized I should offer this man dinner because we hadn't eaten yet. So he ate with us. And
Only you.
Well, he's a friend from church, so it's not like he's some stranger off the street. Felice thinks that, I just take in people right off the street, but it isn't true. I do know them.
She's Mother Teresa.
Oh, my goodness.
That's so funny. So he stayed for dinner?
Yeah, so he did. And I was fine. You know, like, how I respond is not going to change the circumstances, but mm-hmm. it will change the frustration. I can make a choice to either be frustrated in my heart or to be at peace and to be like kind of enjoying. Well, this is a surprise, you know, like sometimes someone asks me, well, how do you deal with so many things going on in your life? And you're not grumpy all the time or depressed. And I said, it's because I laugh at everything, because I think you either have to laugh at stuff or you have to cry. So it's right. more fun to laugh and see the humor in things. And that can keep our hearts light. But, you know, I think too, to realize, okay, God is really in control of my life. He really is. And I do have to trust him. If he allows something to happen, that he's going to bring good about it from it.
Well, so. Praise God. We're going to take a really quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to finish up the rest of our points. We'll be right back.
Powerline Productions wants to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. Because of this, we offer a wide variety of books and ebooks about homeschooling, homeschool classes, and Bible study workshops like Real Men Build. Pastor Mike and Meredith Curtis, along with their daughter Katie Beth Curtis, have written this comprehensive Bible study to help men of all ages grow in leadership in the home, in the church, and in the world. Learn more at powerlineprod.com. That's powerlineprod.com. Powerline Productions, being world changers, raising world changers.
Everyone, Felice Gerwitz here, and I want to share with you something that is dear to my heart, and that is saving you money. Can you use encouragement for your homeschool journey? Have you been searching for an online learning program designed to ground your family in a Christian worldview? Well, now you can at MediaAngelsMembership.com. Our affordable membership packages fit your budget and busy life. Now you can access customized membership packages for your homeschooling family from the extensive Media Angels library of books, classes, and Bible studies. You may select the ebook bundle, the creation bundle, the premium bundle, or the forever bundle. Each bundled set will save you vast amounts of money. Our packages begin at less than $10, and you can use it for the whole family. So go to MediaAngelsMembership.com for more information. That's MediaAngelsMembership.com. You'll be glad you did.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome back. This is Felice Gerwitz with Meredith Curtis, and today we're talking about refreshment for moms. This is episode 220, and you can find the show notes at VintageHomeschoolMoms.com, and there we'll have links to some of the things that we talked about today, and also, information kind of bulleted from what we discussed. So, Meredith, you shared your second point, which was having realistic expectation. Mine is for keeping refreshed is to have like-minded friends. I know that some of us always have to have a project, a friend who I think we sometimes I tend to attract friends that, are a little bit more needy or need some help. And I've had friends, I've been needy before, and I also have those friends. I mean, Meredith, you're one of them, where I can just pick up the phone and just tell you everything, and then we can, we can pray, and I know you're praying for me, because right before we went online, you gave me prayer requests, and I gave you prayer requests, and
yes,
and so, we can keep each other in prayer, and that's great, But we also need friends that are going to be uplifting, and here's how you can tell. Okay, so if you're with a friend and you know, and obviously your friend is going to have kids, right? Because you know you're in your homeschool time where you're going to you know, probably have a play date and things like that, and you walk away from that angry or frustrated. More, you know, every once in a while it might happen, you know, your child's not great or their child's not great or something was said or whatever. I mean, kids are kids and sometimes that happens. But if this happens over and over again and you find yourself frustrated, it's time to, you know, either invite other people along, you know, like the more the merrier, so you don't necessarily have to be with that one person. Or really look at that relationship and decide if that is pulling you down. Many, many years ago, I had a friend who, if I didn't hear the laundry list every single time we were together, you know, I would think something is wrong. And it was almost like, you know, not that people look for problems, but it almost seemed that way. And when I walked away, I just had this heaviness because in my nature, I want to fix everything. And I finally had to realize that God fixes, and all we can do is pray and intercede and allow Him to carry the burden. It's not my cross. You know, it's right. He's the one who died on the cross so that, you know, our sins could be forgiven. And I'm trying to carry everybody's cross and found myself, you know, just down on my knees. So just know that having like-minded friends and family that you can be with, just for encouragement and refreshment, because sometimes we want, you know, we crave that mommy time, especially because we're home with our kids all day, right? So, right. You know, by the time dad comes home, or I was so happy to see my husband, you know, always, you know, because you get a little bit of a break and, you know, it's somebody that, you know, you love and it was so great to have him home. But also, you know, you would feel that way with friends that are really uplifting friends. And I was really blessed to be in an area where, even to this day, many of my friends have already graduated their kids. They didn't just keep having them like I did. So their kids are all older, you know, like in their late 20s or 30s. And right. And we are on a Facebook group. It's on Messenger on Facebook, and it's all for prayers. So, you know, these were, and they're all over the place. They're in Tennessee, they're in Virginia, they're on the other coast of Florida. And one of our friends started this group and they said, you know, we were so close at one point. You know, we would go to church together, we would fellowship together, we would camp together, you know, like at 7 or 8 of our families would go camping.
Oh.
And it was so wonderful. It was such a blessed time. I mean, my two oldest kids remember their friends with, you know, with joy. And they're still friends with it. I mean, my daughter, Christina, is friends with one of her friends that she grew up with, who is now married and a homeschool mom. So those are the ways that we can be refreshed, right, Meredith? By just having, I mean, we can't always, and we are supposed to be there for our friends, but just to have friends that are going to be picking you up, if you're in a situation, they're going to pray for you, and you can count on that.
I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. I think friends make the load lighter. A friend loves at all time. A brother is born for adversity. And two are better than one. They get a good return for their work. If one falls down, the other can lift him up. That's from Ecclesiastes. And yes, I agree with that. And one of the things that I like to do to start off the new year with fun and to be refreshing is to do a brand new year celebration. And I realize, you know, for me, like, I love to learn. That's so exciting to me. And I love the smell of new books. And I love the, you know, like, all the lesson planning and putting it together. But I realize, like, you know, school is a lot of hard work for my kids. So, and it's going to be a lot of hard work for me, grading stuff and teaching them stuff. And so it's always fun to start the year and end the year with a celebration and to do something special, no matter what it is, even if it's just like going out for lunch together or getting ice cream or having a party with balloons, however you want to do it. But to make something, make it a special celebration to start the new year, it just puts a positive spin on things. And so you're wondering, well, how is this spiritual? And I'll tell you, because in the book of Nehemiah, they went back and they rebuilt the wall. And when they finished rebuilding the wall, they got the book of the law out. And when they got the book of the law out, everybody was so depressed because they didn't have, you know, they realized, oh my goodness, we haven't obeyed the law. So, but Nehemiah stood up and he said, listen, we're going to celebrate that we found the law and we're going to mourn over our sins in a few days, but right now we're just going to celebrate. So this is what I want you to do. Go have a party, get choice meat, sweet drinks, give to those who have none. And, by the way, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So somehow Nehemiah equates the joy of the Lord being our strength with celebrating. And I don't know how all that works, but I know that that matters to God, that we take those moments and celebrate. And so that is one way to be refreshed, is to have a party with your kids.
Right. That's so great. And I'm going to add a link because I did do a podcast. We are just like sisters, you know. But I have a podcast that went out in August last month. So it's podcast 216, and it was Beginning the Homeschool with a Bang. So it was all about doing that and just having special stuff. Because I remember when my kids were younger, Meredith, they were like, well, we're not getting the new books and the new pencils. And I was like, of course you are. You know, they just could hear that their friends were getting the lunch boxes and things like that. I think one year I did buy them lunch boxes, which actually worked out great because I could make their lunch ahead of time. And then we could just go grab their lunch box and go sit out by the porch. Or, you know, Jeff built a treehouse at one point and we were up in the treehouse eating lunch and things like that. So, you know, it worked out, and we also used them when we would go on field trips. But that one talks about, you know, starting it with some fun and enthusiasm, because we want our kids, you know, school is school. You know, like my little granddaughter, you know, is having to do school on Saturday. But what great lessons that our kids will learn. And because I didn't have little kids to buy for anymore, of course, you can imagine I did buy crayons and markers and stuff that I gave Christina to give the kids on their first day of school. It was a surprise. So I couldn't pass up those aisles at the store. So I'm still doing it. Now I'm buying things like index cards, and I still buy notebooks and things for school for the kids. But it's a little bit different. Yeah. My last point on being refreshed is to learn to say no without guilt. Now, I'm still working on this as I share this, because before we went live, I told Meredith of two situations where I said no and then felt extremely guilty to the point of one night only sleeping for 3 hours. And I won't go into that story, but just, you know, and even though, you know, it wasn't anything that there was a situation I couldn't do anything about anyway, but I was really feeling horrible that I couldn't. And it has to do with, you know, in-laws and family. But we have to learn to say no and then not feel horrible about it, because I know, I remember being in a meeting one time with a homeschool group, and I was, you know, typically in leadership because we say yes. And of course I can do that, and I can handle this, and I can handle that. And I remember being with you know, the leadership team and watching one day, because my husband had pointed this out to me, and I didn't really want to believe it. And he said to me, he goes, you know, this leadership committee is made up of some men and some women, you know, strong Christian families. And he said, I want you to look at the men in your group and how their wives never volunteer and how they're really quick to volunteer you for everything. Now, that's what, you know, and I said, so what do you want me to do about it? And he said to me, do you want me to quit? And he said, no. He said, I want you to look at it with different eyes. And so I sat there and, different things were coming up and I was making a list of these things and I was thinking, okay, I can handle this one and this one and this one. And I didn't volunteer. And, you know, of course, one of the dads on the committee said, you know, Felice, you're awfully quiet over there. I thought, you know, these three things are just perfect for you. And so at that point, I was doing a lot with science fairs and my kids were really involved and I had written a book on the topic of science fairs. So I said, well, I would like to host the science fair at the end of the year and help with that and putting that on. But that's the only thing I'm going to do this year. And I mean, it was like this big hush came over the group, like they couldn't believe it. And I was able to say, and it's because, you know, it's what my husband would like me to do, because he had already said to me, I don't want you to overcommit. So learn to say no without guilt is a good one. Don't overcommit. Be strong. And, you know, don't be pressured, because sometimes we lose our refreshment, Meredith, because we are so busy doing for others and other families. And I remember, just deciding when the kids were younger, and I think we had the opposite situation, because I know you were involved in co-ops when your kids were in high school. And when my kids were in high school, we were not involved in co-ops at all, because by the time my kids got to high school, I was done. I was doing so much. I remember teaching some biology classes and, some of the science classes. And just thinking, if I spent one quarter of the time on all my other homeschool obligations, we would be done by noon. I was spending so much time in preparation because it wasn't just my three kids at that point. It was everyone else's. So look at that. Right. See what the benefits are, if they outweigh it. You know, socialization is very important, but it's overrated, because my kids' best friends are each other. And it's like, you know, I know this is like a horrible analogy, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's like puppies. We got there was a litter of puppies down the road, and my husband said, you cannot send the kids down there without them coming home with a dog. Well, I'm not a big dog person, but we've had six dogs in my life as a mommy. And the last one that we got is a rescue dog, but it's not the one I'm talking about. But Barry was the cutest little yellow lab that you've ever seen. And his brother, Snickers, lived next door, same litter. Well, because they were brothers and they lived next door, they bonded with each other instead of with the kids. So they couldn't wait to escape from their prospective houses so that they could bond together. And I feel like that with our children, that when they're given the chance to hang out with their siblings, even if there's a five-year difference between my son, my two sons of the youngest three, my 21-year-old son now, I guess he just turned 22, I can't believe it, he goes and hangs out at my daughter's house, who's 30, is going to be 35, you know, and they go, and he's really good friends with his brother-in-law. And, you know, he goes and he went and visited Annie up in college and spent, you know, a long weekend there. And you know what I'm saying? It's just that we don't give our kids a chance. Do they fight? Yes. You know, did Nick say the other day, you need to make Michael listen to me, who's 5 years younger? And I said, son, respect is earned. You know, I mean, you might as well learn it now. You can't just demand it. But I feel like that. I feel like sometimes we're so, you know, we've got to be in a co-op because our kids don't have friends and they need to have friends. And then, oh my gosh, they've got all these bad habits. And, you know, they're on, it's just, you know, it's all of the things that we think they need. And if we go back to number one, and that was your number one, you know, fix your eyes on Jesus, the person of Jesus. I love that. And my number one, be quiet before the Lord. If he's directing that, then He'll bless it. So not to say don't do co-ops, but just do what's right for your family. And if you have to say no, you know, don't feel bad about it. Just know that it will all work out.
Yes.
And that's all I have for this episode. I think we've covered quite a bit, and we are out of time, Meredith. So
that's awesome.
Wow. Well, praise God. And I just pray, Meredith and I both pray, that you have a wonderful year, even if you're listening to this in December or in January when you're starting up your school year again. You know, just keep these things in mind whenever you need refreshment. Take care, God bless, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.